Hey, today we are beginning this new series, Hoarders, and I am so excited. This series was planned and prayed for quite some time ago, having no idea that as we talk about walking into the freedom that Jesus gives us, what that was going to mean for the season we're in. This is unique. We're getting used to online church together, and you're with us, and live hosts are with us right now. And so I want to just encourage you, let them know you're here. Say hi, wave at them, give a shout out. In fact, maybe you're at home and you could take a photo or a selfie with whoever you're watching with, or if you've got a mask,
we're all getting used to
wearing these today. Put yours on and grab that picture and let us see what yours looks like. This is a different time, isn't it? And it is one that I don't think any of us are ever going to forget. You know, there's the before and the after. And today, as we get started with Hoarders, I'm going to be talking about something that's been on my mind a lot, which is, what is a new normal? You know, when we think about before the pandemic, some of you were making traveling plans for spring break, for the summer. You were thinking of actually being able to travel. Now, after, or in the middle of it, many of you, your travel plans now look, if you've seen this on social media, like your floor plan in your house, right? Where are you going to go? Because that's about all we can do. Secondly, when you go to the grocery store, you know, for many of us, it has changed. Before COVID, we would go and we would have all kinds of options. Things, you know, just in particular like bread, that there was many different options, more than we even needed. And then today, this is an actual picture from one of our local grocery stores here in Southwest Michigan, where it's just, it looks different afterwards. You know, right now in 2020, we have graduates that don't know yet what it's going to look like to graduate. Many have been on social media putting up their high school photos to kind of celebrate what their graduation looked like in honor of today's graduates. Here's actually one of my high school graduation pictures on the left there. That's the before. That's 23 years ago, 1997, if you will. And on the right is a picture just last year of my wife Cindy and I. There's a lot that's happened in that before and after. And that's the space where a new normal can be established. But here's what's interesting. If I think about the space between my before and after, if I think of all that's happened over the last 23 years, there have been so many moments where I've been tempted to try to control things, to try to hold on to things, to hoard guilt, shame, fear, control. And the reality is, every time I've done that, it's caused chaos around me. In fact, let me show you a picture from one of our local, again, grocery stores here in Southwest Michigan from just a few weeks ago. I mean, this just blows my mind. I don't know how this happens in a parking lot, and how anxiety and fear and trying to take control of things gets to a place where we do this in a parking lot. But sometimes our behavior can get out of control. And what we're going to look at in Romans 8 is what Jesus has done about it and what he offers us. Let's go to the text today. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, I'm going to read to you God's word and what we're going to be looking at today together. It says in verse 1, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow your sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit." As we get into this, may God bless the reading of his word and in the hearing of this, because Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus has entered into the chaos, and he, in fact, creates a new normal. Jesus entering into the chaos, Paul, the author here, says that there therefore is no condemnation. So now is another translation's use of that. And what they're getting at is, and what he's saying is, listen, I've just laid out for you for seven chapters leading into this chapter 8, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in fact, Jesus looked at a fallen world full of sin, full of depravity, that was in chaos. And he stepped into that because sin, meaning missing the mark of God and his intent for us, leads to death. The wages of sin is death. And in many ways, if we look around us right now, we can see that, that disease and destruction and suffering is all around us. It is crazy. It is chaos. And the author had laid out for us the gospel that in the face of all of that, Jesus came, he died, he rose again. We just celebrated that on Good Friday and Resurrection Easter Sunday. Jesus lives, and as a result, he offers us hope. He entered into that chaos, and he wants to enter into our lives today in new ways. Some of us, it may be the first time that we've ever thought that we don't have to clean ourselves up before coming to God, that in fact, he enters in, that he's available to us. Jesus wants to enter in right now. You may be hoarding fear. You may be hoarding toilet paper, groceries. Who knows what it is that you're holding on to in an attempt to try to control things. But what we see here is that we don't have to do that anymore. That there's no condemnation. You see, the result of sin and chaos is a condemnation of it. And we don't have to live under that anymore because of what Jesus has done in establishing this new normal. That downward spiral no longer has to hold us. Andrew Knowles says this, when we belong to Christ, we live in a new dimension. We have a new freedom, a new power, a new Father, and a new hope. Paul says that we are actually in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit within us lifts us out of the gravitational pull of sin and death and sets us in orbit around Christ and our Heavenly Father. Can you picture that? That Jesus enters in and then sets us in a new dimension, a new normal, a new orbit. That he has more for us. That we don't have to fight for more. But it's so key that we understand how we get there. It's not by us controlling things, but it's actually by us confessing. Confession actually leads to Christ freeing us from condemnation. When we begin to realize who Jesus is and what he's available for, when we begin to see some of the ways that we're trying to hold on and make it happen and hustle to figure it out, when we begin to confess those things to Jesus, he enters in and forgives and washes over us. 1 John 1:9 says this, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, from everything. As Paul said in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. Jesus is here to set us free. I wonder, what are the things going on inside of your mind and heart in this season that you just need to humbly bring to Jesus and confess and say, I've been holding on to this. I've been hiding this. I've been hoarding this. Jesus, I confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to set us free and to give us that new normal. Check it out in Romans 8, 2 and 3. Again, what it says. It says, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the body we sinners have.
And in that body, declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's why we can come to Jesus, is because of his love and what he has done for us. You see, the reality is Jesus didn't just enter our chaos and create a new normal. Jesus' new normal makes the impossible possible. And that is really, really good news. You see, all of us are, by human nature, we're born with this sin nature. And we're held captive by it, and our pride takes over, and our desire to control, and our desire to try to make things happen. And what we're getting at here is there's this path that the law, it says, had laid out for us. That these are the things that you need to do to be right with God. These are the things that you need to do to fulfill God's law and to come into relationship with a holy God. But you see, none of us are capable. None of us are able. And that's the beauty of what Jesus does for us. He establishes a new normal by coming fully God, fully man, dwelling among us, dying for our sins, fulfilling the law, the prophets. He condemned the weakness of our flesh and our sin on that cross so that we no longer have to be condemned. We are freed when we confess and come to him. That is such great news. And without Jesus, it would be impossible. We know that all things are possible with God. For some of us right now, we just needed to hear that there's a loving God that desires a relationship with you. That it isn't your hustle, it isn't you trying to make things right, it isn't you trying to fulfill and be a good person. That's working backwards, that's working the impossible way. You see, the possible way is to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you did it, you fulfilled it, I need you to fill me and to walk with me, and we begin to develop a relationship with him. That's where the real freedom comes from. That's when a new normal begins to happen. You see, life has changed for many of us. And I just wonder if God is allowing this to create that new normal. You see, many of us, if we're honest, we believe in Jesus, but we forget what he's offered us. You see, it isn't just that Jesus forgives us of our sins. It's that he wants to free us to live a new life and to live a new normal. Do you know that just before the author Paul wrote what we just read, he admitted very transparently his own struggles, his own back and forth, his own desire to try to fix it and control it and make it happen? Let me read it to you. In Romans 7, picking up in verse 22. He says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power that is within me, that is, there's war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, he says. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. If you stopped right there, if all you knew was that, you might feel like it's impossible. But again, with Jesus, we learn that he does the impossible. He makes the impossible possible. He enters into that chaos. He offers us a new normal. He does what we cannot do. You see, the law is really good. Religion is really good at pointing out what's wrong. Some of you, do you remember as a kid, that moment when your parent or your auntie or your granny was like, well, I'm going to tell you what you're not going to do. I'm going to tell you what you ain't going to do. Right? And there was that moment where you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. I won't do that. And for some of us, that's all we hear when we think about God is, these are the things I can't do. Jesus came not to tell us what we can't do,
but to establish life as it was meant to be, to set us free for this new normal. And the amazing thing about it is, yes, the struggle is real, but now we have not just Jesus, but his Holy Spirit living within us. Mark Sayers says this, "Their constant companion was no longer God's presence," talking about God's people. He says, "but instead shame, anxiety, and isolation." Sound familiar? Human flesh, cut off from the presence, mutates into something monstrous, a force that resists the expansion of God's presence into the world. What he's getting at here is that when we're isolated from God and isolated from God's people, our flesh can begin to take over. It can be like a monster, a struggle that is beyond what we even understand. And some of you right now know exactly what I'm talking about, because you've had fears rising, stress rising, desires that you don't even know where they came from. You thought you had killed that thing long ago, and suddenly it's been coming back. And I want to tell you, there's a new normal that's available. We don't have to go back. We don't have to live in those struggles. You see, the law cannot claim, condemn, or control you. This is the good news of the gospel. It came to expose our need for Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, we no longer have that condemnation, that claim against us, that control holding us. But the key is, we come out of isolation. We come out of hiding. We come to God and confess our need for him. And we also realize our need for community. And here's where it gets interesting in a pandemic season where many of us are under stay-at-home orders. You see, under those orders, we need to be respectful and wise. We need to be good stewards, but we also need to make sure we're connected. We need to be connected, whether it's online, via phone, or with other people, because we need one another. One of the things we're seeing statistically right now is a rise in anxiety medications and rise in depression. People that are literally turning to suicide and hopelessness. And I want to give you a little hope today to let you know that while isolation can kill, coming out of isolation can bring life. In the last few weeks, we here at Overflow have witnessed the power of what happens when people come out of isolation. We actually have somebody who tragically had decided to take their own life. But that individual, in the 11th hour, reached out to somebody, another home within Overflow. And that home provided care and love and got them to the help they needed. And when they arrived there, another home at Overflow came into contact with them. And the church was being the church in a powerful way, because they got the help they needed, the resources they needed, and some hope. And they're doing better today. A life was saved because it came out of isolation. And so we want to encourage you. We rolled out last week this initiative called Home to Home. And we want to just encourage you to be a part of this, to realize that a new normal right now is an opportunity for you to sign up for Home to Home, to say, even in this season, I want to be connected and pray for someone, check in on someone, and be available, and also have somebody I can call on if I need help. That's what Home to Home is all about. That's what we can do to establish this new normal together. Because again, Jesus has done such a mighty work that he has freed us for something new and something better. Let me read to you verse 4 as I close up what we're looking at today. It says this, "He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit." Another translation actually talks about walking in the Spirit. And this is what we need to realize is walking in the Spirit is the new normal. This is what Jesus came to do, not just to save us. Do you remember that he came, yes, to save us, but to give us life and life abundantly? And how we experience that life is by being in step with his Spirit, following his Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in each and every person that comes into a relationship with Jesus. This is why when we gather, there's so much that happens that's exciting, but you don't need to say, well, I missed that. You might, but did you know the presence of God, if you're a believer, is with you right now, right where you're at? That in fact, Scripture says that you are the temple of the living God, that you are a chosen one, a living stone, that he's the cornerstone, and that his Holy Spirit is in you. And when we begin to get in step with that, things begin to look different. Things begin to change. The author Paul in Romans 8 uses the phrasing around the Spirit more than 20 times. He's really trying to help us draw this contrast between our flesh and the Spirit. John Stott, a famous author and theologian, pastor, says this. He says, the Christian life is essentially life in the Spirit. That is to say, a life which is animated, sustained, directed, and enriched by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, true Christian discipleship would be inconceivable and indeed impossible. Have you ever wondered why you feel like you keep falling into the same things? Why you keep failing or keep holding on to things that you're not sure why? The answer isn't figuring it out in your strength. It's getting in step with the Holy Spirit and establishing this new normal of following him and walking in the Spirit. Now, let me demysticize this for you for a minute, because there's some practical things we can look at. Some things that if we're walking with the Spirit will be coming out of our life, if you will. There's fruit that we can expect to see if we're walking in the Spirit. A part of the new normal for a believer, a part of following Jesus and walking in the Spirit is to bear fruit. In Galatians 5, verse 22 through 25, it says this: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hoarders, listen up. There is no law against these things. Says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So how are you doing? If you look at verse 22 and 23, is this a season in your new normal? When you can say, yeah, I see love coming out of me. I see peace coming out of me. I see joy coming out of me. I am walking in the Spirit. Or is this a moment not to receive shame or condemnation or even guilt, but conviction? Where the Holy Spirit is saying to you, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember who's in you. Walk with my Spirit, and I want to use you in this season. I want that new normal to come out of you. Now, I have the luxury, if you will, of living this over the last few days and preparing to deliver it. It's an honor. I'm a little bit ahead in that sense because I've been thinking about this. And let me tell you how real the struggle is. A few days ago, there was a moment where I was actually, as many of you, getting to a place in my own home where stress was up here. And as stress started to get up here, I needed to get away. And so I gave myself a timeout. You ever done that? Some of you need to do that, by the way. I gave myself a timeout, and I went out to the front porch, and I sat down because I knew I was in the flesh. I was stressed. I was getting upset. I couldn't handle the volume. You know, we're a family of six. It's a party. It's fun. But it got to that place. And as I realized I was beginning to see my flesh rise and win, I gave myself a timeout on the front porch. A couple family members came out and checked on me. I'd love to say that I was full of love and kindness in that moment, but I wasn't. Made it clear that I needed some space. And you know what was interesting is that time out led to some time in with God. Some time in to allow His Spirit to breathe life back into me. I want to encourage you today that while everything may seem different, we're in the tension of the before and the after, but God is still at work and He's still establishing a new normal. And He's ready to offer you life if you don't know Jesus, and life to the full in His Spirit if you do know Him. He's ready for us to walk with Him in new ways. And the best question many of us could ask ourselves in this season is, am I in the flesh or am I in the Spirit right now? And the more we're in the Spirit, the more we're going to see the fruit and the plans that God has flowing out of our lives. And we're going to feel better, and the people around us, you better believe, are going to feel better. I want to close by just giving you an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to pray with me to receive Him and the gift of life He offers you. For those of you that do know Jesus, my guess is something today touched you, and you may need to actually confess some things to God during this time. To confess and to remember that He's faithful and just to forgive. And to invite the Holy Spirit into those places that you've been holding on to. He's ready to walk with us into a new season. Let's pray together. Jesus, I believe that You are the sinless Son of God that came, that died, that rose again, that offers me life. I ask today, Jesus, that You would come in, forgive me a sinner, forgive me of all my sins. I want to follow You as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that today with us, let us know. Our hosts have something right in front of you right now online that you can respond. You can, you know, tag us. You can comment. You can fill out. We want to celebrate with you. We want to follow up with you. And then for others, I want to just pray over you now to walk in the Spirit, to experience this new freedom and this new normal. Father, we love You. We praise You. Thank You for Your word today. I ask, Father, that we would walk into a new normal, even when we're caught between the before and the after. We're in the middle of the tension, and Jesus, You are a God who enters into the chaos. Thank You for doing the impossible. Thank You for making a way. Thank You for walking with us and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. I ask, Father, that we would be renewed by Your Spirit. We would walk in Your Spirit. And that we, Your people, would bear more fruit for Your kingdom and show this the world around us what is possible. We love You. We praise You. We thank You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.